I'm Lisa again. Did you enjoy my reflection so far? I hope you did. In this podcast, I'd like to share with you some thoughts on authentic learning. I want to reiterate that I come to this exercise differently. By this I mean that my approach to teaching and learning follows my approach to research, wherein I challenge disciplinary norms for knowledge production. Moving away from a positivist pedagogical model, my approach is explicitly normative and it is embodied in nature. Let me here refresh your memory about the framework of avoiding false universals, but in an embodied fashion. Come with me on a journey, if you will. It is fall 1991. I was then a young practicing attorney at law, working on a large project which promised to bring many free trade zone jobs for thousands of jobless workers in Latin America and the Caribbean. In theory, this was a good thing. And so it remained in my mind, in theory, until one day when we were invited to visit one of these free trade zones. Walking into a factory, I was struck by the sight of rows upon rows of silent women, working with their heads down, their arms and elbows squeezed by their sides because there was little room to move. The factory was hot, the air quite still. There was a relentless sound of sewing machines. When we were leaving the factory, a few of the women quietly approached us and asked for money, saying that they had nothing to eat at home until they were paid at the end of the work week, and it was only Wednesday. Just as quietly as they had approached us, we did what we could, and then we drove back to the office in horrified silence. What I saw that day taught me to interrogate what was happening in the context of the free trade zone. Jobs for hitherto jobless workers was a good thing, yes, but I needed to ask what was happening to workers there, to ask who benefits and who is harmed, and to begin to imagine transformative possibilities. What to do then? We had meetings in the firm. We dealt with back wages, sought bettering of physical working conditions, and the firm gave anonymously for this. So I used this story to discuss and illustrate and engage with my students about feminist theory and neoliberalism in international relations. I drew upon an occurrence from my own life which had led me to envision different possibilities. Two of my students will now offer their own reflections on their experiences of learning in my classes. Dilectas is a senior graduating in the fall, and Julia Bragado Young is a sophomore.
So I remember hearing Professor Samuel's story and thinking to myself that it exemplified an evolution in perspectives, because she began her story from the standpoint of corporations that have specific goals in mind, but then shifted to the importance of morality and how some corporate actions affect human lives negatively. And in an increasingly global and interconnected economy, this way of evaluating our world is fundamental in itself. However, I also thought to myself how much humility and self-awareness is required to share a story in which our professor was admitting that at some point of her life, she was looking at a situation only from one standpoint. And it is this authenticity in her teaching style that I find to be incredibly engaging. After all, her critical life event had indeed shaped her life and career by changing the way she was engaging with her environment, but most importantly, she was now willing to use it as an invitation for our students to reevaluate our assumptions about things that we know, or at least we think we know, and I really appreciated that.
What is life experience worth if not to learn from it? this is at the core of Professor Samuel's teaching style. Her story is important too because it teaches the importance of moral values and to always look at a situation from many angles. What on its surface can give us a simple impression of a path ahead, when looked at from a different perspective, one is poised to find a moral compass, dictating us to proceed differently. In her case, a moral compass changed her path to become an exemplary teacher whose pedagogical style is, I would describe, humanistic. The courage to change a life's path entails reinvention, and it is this reinvention that separates her methods from others. It begins with a simple greeting. How are you today? It is not a formality, but a genuine interest in our well-being, a way to put us at ease during a stressful workload. She reassures us we will be fine and capable of grasping the material. She eases our anxieties by placing her confidence in our willingness to participate. In other words, she makes us available to open our minds. Then, it is off to the races. She expects our full attention and preparation for the subject at hand. It is not an unrealistic expectation. It is a standard of perfection to which she also holds herself to. We as students are not there only to learn. We are there to engage and teach one another, including her, about new perspectives, ideas, and to critically think of new approaches within the field of study. Her story is one of courage to do the right thing, to impart the knowledge she drew from that experience, and to prepare us for the eventuality that one day we will be in a position to make decisions based on the information acquired in her class.
These are my students speaking. As Heather Smith has said, this way of engaging students and the process of entering into a joint effort of meaning-making with them have reminded me of the continued importance of taking risks in the classroom. There are times when efforts to put theory into practice, to do it differently, and to challenge the disciplining norm of the discipline itself result in unexpected but transformative learning for us all. Thanks so much for listening, and especially thank you to my two students, Dilek and Julio, for sharing your experiences with us.